Thanks for coming out today. Good to see you. Ushers, go ahead and pass out the handout, if you could, please, everybody. Should be enough. And now, these are not the message notes, just a handout. If you want the notes right now, you can go to the church website at newcovenant.org, and there's a PDF on the homepage of today's notes. The diagram you'll see is on the handout. So please do that if you want to follow along. I'm excited about this new series we're starting today. We're going to call this new series The Masterpiece Mindset. Say, thank God.
Thank God.
I have. I will learn to develop, and I will have a masterpiece mindset. All right. Ephesians chapter 2 will be our text. We do have, you got the slides up. Appreciate that, the PowerPoint. And I'm so thrilled to bring this message. We're going to just touch a few points today when we'll have Easter coming up and all that. But I want to just get you ready for what will be another good experience, a strong experience in learning and growing as we had with the previous series on From Cope to Hope. I will mention that we'll get there. Most of the CDs are available now on the resource table. You can go to the website and download MP3 today. MP3s are all available for each of the six messages. MP3 is available. So go to the website and get those and listen as well. The notes are also there, so it's all there. Go and receive it, share it, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 10. We read this at the first of the year. We'll come back here now. It says this. The Apostle Paul wrote, verse 10, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." New Living Translation, King James says we are God's workmanship. This version says we're God's masterpiece. See, I am. God's masterpiece. That's a very strong word, and we'll define that a little later. But we're going to talk about a mindset today, talk about and teach you about how to develop your mind in a way that will serve God's purpose, in a manner in which your mind won't be the hindrance or the distraction. Sometimes our minds are, but the tool to success and fruitful purpose that God designed us in our minds to become. And it begins with knowing that everything about you is a masterpiece. Now, from science, we know just the biology of how we're made and our bodies, our organs, the brain. I mean, all how God made us is amazing and just is amazing, just simply amazing. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And even more than that, we'll learn that we are spirit, soul, and body. We're not just what we see is the physical part. We experience your personality through your soul. But your spirit, man, is the most impactful part of you. The part we don't see, the part that nobody sees, is the most important part of you. And we'll learn about how to live from the inside out here this morning. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, look there. And this will be one of our texts for today. My topic today is, in this first part of the series, is who am I? Say, who am I? That's the question, who am I? Okay, it's important to know, who am I? Well, I'm Brian. Yeah, but that's your name, but who are you? Okay. Well, I got 3 degrees. Yeah, but who are you? I'm married 36 years and got 4 children, beautiful children, lovely children. Well, but yeah, but who are you? I drive a Lincoln, you know. Well, but who are you? I got a 5-bedroom house, but who are you? You see? And we must learn who we are, and we'll find the essence of who we are on the inside. All right, our text here says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Interesting phrase, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Well, we're learning. We'll find out. And then Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 21 says, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, speaking of Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. Now, go back, if you could, to the first slide that shows the message title and the graphic. I want to explain something to you about this graphic that I created for you and for this message series, showing a palette, paintbrush, paints, and then you see four paintings. Now, I've actually done painting. I've used that, not for a long time. Now it's all gone digital, but that's kind of sad in some ways. It's all digital now. But I did that. I painted. But what's important to see here is that your mind is like the canvas. Now, you have those four paintings. Imagine those paintings just blank, nothing, just canvas, white canvas. You always start with a blank canvas. And you can use the paints and the brushes to create any image that you want to create. And so your mind is like that canvas that can be painted in any kind of way. Now, the drawings here, the paintings up here, notice that it's the same subject, just different stages, different ways of painting it. And, of course, the one, none of them are totally normal. I mean, they're all abstract in some ways. But the point is that artists chose to paint the same subject four different ways. Now, one of the trees has no leaves on it. All right, so the others have leaves, the one doesn't. It's just up to whatever the artist wants to paint, you can paint. She can paint, he can paint. And my point is, when it comes to your mindset, you can have whatever mindset you want. Now, you know, I don't believe people talking about, well, I do understand people can be oppressed and possessed by the devil and this kind of stuff, and I've been involved in deliverance and such like that. But I do not believe that Christians should believe that they can be possessed by a demon. All right? But people say, but I believe it. Well, okay. But here's the truth of the matter. Yeah, it can happen, because guess what? A Christian can have whatever he wants. You want a demon? Help yourself. I don't recommend it. Listen to me, I'm making a point here, because the demons have no claim to your spirit. But you're the blank canvas. So you want to dabble and trifle with occultic stuff and weird stuff and crazy, then if you get into that, you're going to attract, your canvas is going to look like something that you won't like when it's all said and done. So not only is the canvas there for you to paint, it's there for others to paint also, if you let them. Your canvas, I mean, your mind can become full of and shaped by whatever you allow. Amen? And so that this whole lesson here is dealing with the reality that we are masterpiece creations of God. And so if that's our worldview, if that's our perspective, then we're going to pay attention to what goes into our mind, what influences shape us, who we listen to, because all that affects what God has made. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, you know, we all have cars, and well, most of us have cars. The point is, you don't let everybody drive your car. There are some people you would not let drive your car because you've seen their car. And you've seen how they drive. Right? So their canvas is like jacked up. Car, bad driving methods, texting driving, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like this. And so you think, you won't drive my car. Because, you know, I just don't trust you. I just don't plain trust you. Not you. I mean, you know, in general. One example. You pick the example. There are just things you're not going to let people do if it affects you. But there are things you will let people do that you do trust because you trust them, because they have a lot to offer. You need what they have, and you're happy to have them involved in your life, to speak into your life. Amen. To drive their car. They drive your car. You go together places. I mean, think about it. When you are in a car with somebody, with some friends, you know, then your friends are taking you with them, and you trust them to drive you there. Amen. And so the canvas of your mind is much more important than who you're riding with. And yet, look at all the stuff we allow, you know, into our mind through the eye gate, ear gate. Huh? And so the masterpiece mindset is really a principle. I'm just suggesting that we take ourselves as seriously as God takes us, that we treat ourselves with the dignity that God has treated us with, that we respect the creation and the masterpiece work of God in our lives. Amen? You know, I go to museums sometimes. I enjoy art and go to museums, and we look at the art on the wall. But you can't go up there and put your finger on it. You can't bring your paint and say, well, you know what? I'm going to just affix this part right here. I'm going to paint, look, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to fix it up. It don't look right to me. It's not finished. You know, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. And they got people watching you. When I was younger and went to the museum, when I was in my teens, they always followed me around. I was an artist back then, but, you know, I think I was a kid from the hood. Watch him. So I got profiled. Yeah, they profiled me. Sure did. I profiled myself, you know, because I did look kind of crazy sometime in there. I was an artiste, but I didn't look like one. But maybe I did, because some of us are kind of weird looking. My point is, those folk are there because they don't know who appreciates a masterpiece and who does not. And they're going to restrain everybody and anybody who disrespects what's going on in that museum, right? You don't show respect for the artwork, for the masterpieces in there, they're going to put you straight out of there. So, yet with our minds, man, we let everything and anything into our minds look like. We put up with everything, and it disrespects, really, ultimately, our greater purpose as God's masterpiece. So your mind is a canvas, like a canvas. And so you're the painter. You're the painter with the ability to shape your reality and lifestyle through decisions and actions. So the paintbrush and the palette and the paint, all that you mix together, you choose the colors, you choose the design, and you paint whatever you want in your heart, on your mind, and that determines your reality. So by paint, I mean things we do, choices we make. All of that stuff amounts to a painting or amounts to a lifestyle. Now, let's be clear. You know, almost everything that we're doing, good or bad, has come out of choices we made, our choices. Some cases, especially, you know, for children, certain people, somebody can force things upon you. But that's the exception. The rule is our life is the total of what we have decided, of all the stuff in our mind. You know, when wife and I should mention, when we met, I had those green double-knit pants. I left my red jacket in the dorm room, I think, you know what I'm saying? But I was always a colorful kind of person. I'd be that way now, but it wouldn't work too well as a pastor. If I had my way, I'd wear a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and string ties and stuff. I'd be like, but you can't have one outfit, though, so you got to be, I mean, I'm that guy. But I just tone it down for y'all. Life is for living. Come on, somebody. And I got a vivid canvas, you know. But point is, that yet all of us have to realize that when you come to Christ, you got to renew your mind. So the reason that I don't wear green pants today or whatever, you know, the equivalent is today is because, you know, it just don't fit what I'm trying. My purpose don't fit a flamboyant lifestyle. And so that when your mind is a masterpiece and you recognize it, you go for the higher purposes. You may have desires to go all over the map, but you then focus yourself on what's most important and leave off the rest. Amen, somebody? So we can do it. Paul said, man, a lot of things for me are lawful, but I'm not going to do it because it's not expedient to do so. All right, let me keep going. So much to share here. Now, Ephesians said, chapter 4, at verse 23 says that, well, verse 21 again said that if you've heard of him and been taught by him, how many have heard of the Lord and been taught by the Lord? Let me see your hands. You've been taught. Okay. All right. He says, as the truth is in Jesus, here's what he says to you, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt. Now, here's an important lesson about becoming or developing a masterpiece mindset. Is this thing, this person, this entity called the old man is not somebody else. The old man is not even the devil. You are the old man, the old person. Okay? Truth be told, we are our own worst enemy. More than the people you think are the haters and the devil, all that. No, it's really us who create the most havoc for ourselves. But here's the thing about it. When you're in Jesus, hear me, God is not trying to reform or change the old man. He's not. He's not trying to help him at all. What did I say? He ain't, oh no, God, it's very important, y'all, because see, your old man is all the stuff you don't like that you're doing. The old man is the desire for dumb things. It's the desire for frivolous stuff. It's that part of us that just is caught up in stuff that has nothing to do with serving God or being a better person. But we like it. And there's no reforming the old man. There's no helping the old man. Hear what I'm saying now? That's why some folk don't change. Because you can't change, stupid. There's no reforming wicked. There's no help for nasty. You know, I mean, you know, you choose the term. I'm telling you. You got somebody, a friend who's really messed up, you can't change them. They can't change the old man. Because the Bible said, and the truth is, he said, watch this, he said that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. You got to do what? Put it off. Take it off. It just has to be removed. Purged, expunged. I mean, it has to be. You can't fix it. Y'all trying to fix people. You think you're going to make a friend or marry somebody, you're going to fix them? You won't fix them. If they don't put off that behavior, you know, it's behavior. You know, I mean, they can do different behavior. No, if they don't put off what makes them do the wrong thing, they can't stop doing the wrong thing. Now think about that. It's true, y'all. The Bible confirms it. It's obviously true if you think about it. So the deal is, for believers, we have this masterpiece creation. We've been recreated in Christ. We're born again. We're made new. New creations. All of those terms refer to that God replaces one nature with another. And as Christians, that happens on the inside. in this place we call the spirit man. We'll come to that in more detail. But again, it's the mind that's like the gatekeeper to what's going to happen in your life. If people don't exercise their will and their mind and emotions toward a choice to honor God's masterpiece creation and go with him and the way he wants to go, then people can do stuff. People can actually change outwardly. They can do even some quote unquote good things and be nice people. But God doesn't recognize it if we ignore him and say, well, I can get my life together and be okay without God. Then you can try, but it won't be acceptable to God. And then bottom line is you won't find peace on the inside without Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. So religion then is that pursuit that I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'll make myself right. No, whatever. You know, okay. You know, you think you're doing that, but it's religious spirit because it's not. I mean, people have more or less willpower. People can do stuff. It doesn't mean that it's honoring God. Amen, somebody? Well, Jesus gives us all the colors and brushes we need, called grace, to paint this beautiful portrait of a purposeful life. So who am I? Now, the diagram is on the screen. Also, you can look at the outline. On one side of it is this diagram I want you to look at. Let's talk about this. Who am I? Well, this is going to be a series of messages, so I'm going to just start at the beginning and do one part today, because it's everything that follows depends on really learning these principles today. Who am I? Because if we don't know who we are, we can make wrong assumptions and build a wrong foundation. Now, on the outline, Jesus said, he said that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, what is a Christian? Well, a real Christian is somebody who's been born of the spirit. Now, what it means is born of the flesh is flesh means that mothers give birth, mothers, you know, humans called mothers, give birth to humans called babies. Their bodies give birth to little bodies called babies, and thank God for babies. Amen. We all came that way. If you didn't come that way, I want to see you. If you think you didn't come that way, I want to talk to you after service. Explain a few things. See, okay. It's called legal entry, okay, into the earth. All right. And if you think you came from another way, only Jesus came another way. All right. Here's the point, though. Now, that's physical birth. But the new birth is where he says that which is born of the spirit is spirit, meaning when a person encounters Jesus and hears the gospel and believes the gospel and wants to be saved from their old sin, their old life, they literally get a new birth in the spirit realm, in the spirit on the inside is where the new birth takes place, the change. And listen to me, everybody here, if you're a Christian, you know when that happens. If not the exact date, you know you had an experience with Jesus Christ that didn't just make you feel better. You actually, it changed you. Your whole life changed after that point. If it hasn't happened for you, it needs to happen. And listen, y'all, just being raised in church, don't think that's going to make it happen either. Don't get me started on church now. You know, I was raised in church. You know, I was a junior deacon. You know my story. Yeah, I smoke weed in the parking lot and then come in and lead prayer. And I was crying and praying because I was under conviction. And I'm high. Oh, God, help us. Folks said, pray, son, pray. They thought it was the Holy Ghost. It was weed. And everybody's so carnal anyway. Not everybody, but you know, they thought I was praying. But somebody knew that, that boy, he's something wrong with that boy. Something wrong with him. Hey, he don't look right to me. But see, people, I was a pastor's grandson. I just had my way, y'all. I was a wreck up in the church because I was religious. And I was a masterpiece, but I hadn't come into my fullness. You follow me? I was born of the flesh, and I was trying to play church. and I didn't have life on the inside of me, I wasn't saved. I wasn't a Christian. I was just Brian, same old guy. I mean, I just went to church. I had a list of 10 things I did before I began coming to church. And then after church, I got 10 things. I got 11 things now. Same 10 things, 11, I go to church. Nothing come off the list now. The partying, the dope, the drinking, all that. And I joined church and added going church. That's all I did. I added going to church. And that is not a Christian lifestyle. That's deception and that's religion. And folk like that need to be born of the Spirit. Y'all all right here? Now, again, we beginning at the beginning. I'm giving you, this is foundation stuff here, because we can't talk about developing the mind and masterpiece stuff until we know who we are. Who are we? Are we saints of God? Or are we just sinners, you know, parading as Christians? I can say it because I've done it. I've been there. I've done it. I ain't condemning nobody because I actually know what it's like. I actually know it. I even know it when I see it. It's about, I don't judge people, but I actually know when I see that spirit, that old churchianity thing, you know. Because, again, you know, tell you my story, New Year's Eve. I was a DJ. We have the dance. And I'm like, okay, man, at 12:15, the Christians going to come to my dance. They're going to leave the prayer service. They be off in my joint. I'm stamping hands. My crew is stamping hands and taking money. I think, y'all hold up now. 12:15, the Christians going to be here in a little bit. Y'all hold up now. Here we go. Here they are. Right on time. All my carnal Christians. Y'all all right? So Christians can't dance? I didn't say, well, yeah, you can dance. You can do a lot of stuff. Ain't about what you think you can do. I don't know. I'm confused. Why are you confused? Do you know who you are? Well, Pastor got a question. Can a Christian smoke? And why are you asking me that question? You know the answer. You can if you want to. But I tell you about that. One brother, I feel sorry for the cigarette. Fire on one end or fool on the other. I feel sorry for the cigarette. Yeah, Christians smoke. Christians do all kind of stuff. Not because they're supposed to, because they're stuck, they're trapped, they're addicted. Come on, somebody. And listen, if you're a believer, then you can't stop that. You got to put off that behavior. We're going kind of strong today. Y'all all right? Amen. Well, then we want to accept that. I'm God's masterpiece. I'm here to challenge you to live up to the potential that God put in you. Say, I can do all things through Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, do it through the grace of God. Amen. And we say that not because we're perfect and we perfected those of us who preach have it all. No, we are all challenging one another. But how do we get better unless somebody challenges us? Even brings a admonition or rebuke, because sometime we need someone to tell us, brother, you can do better. Amen. And I'm calling you to rise. Amen? Amen. All right. Ephesians 4, 23. So we first put off the former conduct. Just put it off. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, if the conduct, let's say, first of all, you can't stop anything you don't have grace to stop. So we're talking about people who already have received Christ as Savior. Because when you get life on the inside of you, you have then the power to make and keep decisions you make in your mind. How many of us, before we came to Christ, said, I'm going to stop that and quit that? Well, sometimes you could. Many times you could not. because you found yourself being drawn back to the same things because your heart and your spirit hadn't changed. But once the spirit man has changed, you got a foundation from which to change. And therefore, you can then put off. He's talking to believers. A sinner cannot put off the old man. But once a believer is born again, the old man is the outer two circles, or the middle one, the soul. It's those behaviors in the soulless realm you can put off. You can, now, your body, you're stuck with your body. Amen. But your spirit is always going to be your spirit, but it can be full of light or darkness. But the soul, that's the battlefield. The mind, the will, the emotions is the most distinctive part of you. Your body expresses your life through your spirit. Your body expresses the life of your spirit and soul to the world around us and displays our focus of life, whether for God or not. Now, I really want you to understand, I'm not talking about acting spiritual. I'm talking about living for Christ. Because some people want to think, you know, a certain talk, they always say, praise the Lord, as if you talk like that makes you more spiritual. Actually, that kind of talk reveals oftentimes a very superficial approach to serving God. You know, if you know who you are in Christ, you can live it simply and sincerely. But if we don't know who we are, we have to sometimes hide behind religious phrases and religious things. But in our heart of hearts, and when we're all by ourselves, we're not praising God. We're not praying. We're not seeking God. Only in the midst of others does all this spiritual stuff come out. That's like, you know, people being streetwise and churchwise. Same thing. They can navigate because they have to play those games because it's not in the heart. Well, we want to live from the heart. Then the outline says this, the mind is the master of the soul. The mind must be renewed and oriented towards godly living. All right, then. So this mind is the part, the soul, the mind will emotions, what we think, what we feel, what we decide. That's the distinctive part of your personality. And that's where we all rise or fall. I mean, if I had more willpower, I wouldn't be as big as I am. Honestly, but then again, my willpower, I have it because I write books. How many here write books? Good for you. How many have you written? One. Okay. You know, I do lessons. I mean, so we all have strengths and weaknesses. Amen. But thing is, it's all about your mind, your will, and your emotions. It all, that's the battleground, and especially the mind. The mind is the gatekeeper. That when you decide to do something, man, it gets done. At 40, what, I think 44 years of age, I think it was, thereabout, I said, well, I'm going back to school. No, I was thinking I should go back to school and finish my bachelor's degree. I thought about that for like years and years and years. And, it was in my mind. But guess what I had to do? I had to actually get my car in those days, you know, and drive down IUPUI to the Kavanaugh Hall. I had to walk in that place and stand there and say, I want to enroll. And then, you know, do it. Get it started. I mean, so I was thinking it for years, but my mind and my will had to come together. And so I signed up that day, paid my registration fee. I'd already been looking at courses. I said, I want these courses. I want 12 hours here. Oh, sir. She probably thought, that old guy, you better take six. I said, give me 12. I got 12, got a 4.0 my first semester. So you know, it didn't matter if I could do it or not. Just I had to get it done. It's amazing, man. We all know what I'm saying. Everybody knows what I'm saying is true. The mystery is, why don't we get to the things we should do? Well, a lot of reasons we'll cover in this whole series, but I'll just say today, first and foremost, for most of us who call ourselves Christians, if you're a Christian, you won't be happy and God won't really bless you until you serve him. I mean, God just got a problem. He thinks he's God. You know what I'm saying? You're a Christian, and yet you don't want to do what he says and follow his word. So that God is merciful, he loves us, he feeds us and clothes us. But if you say you're a Christian, if you're really Christian, he keeps holding you to a higher standard, whether you want to be held to it or not. That's what frustrates us Christians. You know, if I was just in the world, I'd do what I want to do. And I'd be dead. I don't know about you. I wouldn't be alive. I was too crazy. But listen, but all of us Christians, the Lord loves you so much. Even when we don't think about him, he is thinking about us. And he never gets. Now, listen, I get tired of folk. I do. I mean, if somebody like, well, maybe say this right. I might be offended or anything, but I got to find them and navigate this one here. Here it is. If you work for me and I'm paying you money and you late to work, you got only one time to be late with no excuse and you're gone. I don't need late people. I ain't paying late people. Oh, that's harsh. I don't think so. There are a lot of people who want to work and be on time and running late. I'm running late. They'll call ahead. How hard is that to do? See? So my point is, now, I get tired of folk, but God don't ever get tired of us. You don't serve, you don't pray, you don't give, ain't doing nothing. And God's like, I love you, and you need to be praying. You should pray. God is saying, you should read the word, you should be a tither, and God never gets tired of that. Thank God God is God. You don't want me to be God. You know, I get tired of myself sometimes. I make myself upset. So, aren't you glad for the love of God? Amen. So then at some point, you need to say, okay, Lord, all right, God, you won't give up on me. So let me go ahead and see what you have in store. Because I promise you, as Jeremiah said, God says, the plans I have for you, they're good plans. Plans to prosper you and give you hope in the future. And you must admit, y'all, that Christian, I mean, those who love Jesus, they are, every person you know who loves the Lord and serve the Lord, every single one of them is blessed. Every one is blessed. You know that's true. And when they come up against all kind of hardships and struggles, man, they overcome. They overcome. We survive. We survive accidents. Say amen, Kristen. We always, we just come up because we don't serve God for nothing. But yet, see, all that is not because of us. It's because of him. And so we're really, it really makes sense for us to go ahead and let God, you know, have his way. We're his masterpiece. So therefore, let's paint the pictures in our minds and live the lifestyle that we know he wants us to do, because ultimately we still must make a decision. He doesn't force us to serve him. He just reminds us of where he wants us to be. Is that okay? Amen. Now, the masterpiece defines, let's define the word masterpiece for you. A masterpiece, we actually taught this first of the year. A masterpiece, is it by notes? What's on the screen? A masterpiece is defined as a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship. An artist or craftsman, best piece of work. So we say that we are, and you are, I am God's masterpiece. We're saying that you are a work of outstanding artistry. See, I am a work of outstanding artistry, skill, and workmanship. See, I am God's best piece of work. The word says that what is man you're mindful of him? Why do you think so much of us? You made us a little lower than gods. That's what it says. It says angels, it means gods. God made us lower than himself. But we're above the angels. We're above all the animals. We're above every single thing in this universe. It's God people, and everything else. Yeah, it's the truth. So this evolution stuff, man, I don't buy that. I'm not with the animals. I did not descend from no monkey. I ascended from Jesus. Amen? That's why I don't watch no monkey movies. I don't like that stuff. It's stupid. We want to make them look all, act all human. Well, they got 99% of our DNA. Well, so does a mouse. Well, 96% for a mouse, you know. So let's not go there. No, we're in a whole other class. Because see, one thing animals, God made, let me back up. Listen, y'all. Then why they got two eyes like we got two eyes? Because think about it now. What if God made animals? Animals, we like our pets. All right, don't we? Like to eat some of the animals. Come on. All right, all that. Listen. We're pets, so eat the animals. Okay. Listen. But if your dog had three eyes, be like, I can't live with that. See, so God just made everything harmonious. It's not with this, y'all. Because we got legs and eyes, don't mean we came from animals. God made it, creation is compatible. It makes sense. But don't think for a minute there's any relationship in your soul and spirit to animals. I like my cat. I'm going to heaven when I die. When he dies, he gets get burnt and thrown in the incinerator. What do you think's going to happen? We're going to have a funeral or something? You think I'm going to have a funeral for my cat? I like my cat, y'all. It's the best cat I ever had. I almost love my cat. Almost. But if he get too sick, I'm not going to save him. Last cat I had, he got sick. I put him in a little carrier, took him down. Y'all get to put him down. I ain't going to try to fix it. It hurt me. I cried. But he gone. But people, we're going to try to save people. Why? Because we're made in God's image and likeness. Now, part of the problem is when people lose track of what's what. See, listen, y'all, the problem in our society is we've lost track of the order of God's creation. We've lost track of stuff. You got people, man, running into a burning house to save a dog. Now, there's something wrong with people like that. Don't run to the burning house to save the dog. Let him die. Save yourself. Save your children. What's wrong with people? Now, we shouldn't be cruel to animals and things. My point is, when people don't have the mindset, the masterpiece mindset, man, they accept there's no end to human foolishness when people don't have the masterpiece mindset. But then for those who understand their creation in God, there's no limit to how high you can rise and how far you can go, how many people you can help, how much good you can do in society when you know who you are. Amen, church? Now, what's the answer? This leads to our next teaching on this topic, but in Romans 12 on the outline there, I hand it out to you. Last scripture there on the outline, it says, on the handout rather, says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In fact, go back, turn your Bibles to Romans 12. Let's read that whole context. Romans 12. Now we come to the question of how we change. How do we actually change? How do we change, become better? Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is the reasonable service. Now, your body means your whole self. So you don't give God your body, not your mind. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes body means total person. All right. He says, submit your body to God, the total person to God. Live as a living sacrifice. He don't want you dead. He wants you alive. All right. Old Testament sacrifices were done, a killed animal, offered up. Now, God wants us offered up alive. Okay. So living sacrifice. He says, which is your reasonable service. Least you can do. Give yourself to God. Say, give myself to God. Giving myself to God is the least I can do. Giving yourself to God is the least you can do. We didn't say go to Africa and preach. We didn't say you had to, you know, read the whole Bible in a year or pray hour a day. Let's just start with this. Give yourself to God. And why? Because he made you. He owns you. And look at what we give. Look at the things we do give ourselves to. We all give ourselves to whatever it is. People, things, programs, things we bring ourselves in there and we sit down there and we look at it or we partake of it. That's what it means to give yourself to something or somebody. He says, first of all, by the mercy of God, thank God for his mercy, give yourself to God. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Whoa, that's a big one right there. Don't be conformed. It's too late. I'm already there. But he's saying, really, the sense of it is, now, y'all know that I don't like super spiritual stuff. I'm deeply spiritual, but I'm not like religiously spiritual. Y'all know this, okay? So what I'm saying here is important to understand that being conformed to the world doesn't mean I can't drive a nice car or do nice things to my wife or, can't enjoy life. But conformed to the world isn't having things. Being conformed is becoming like. Becoming like. That's being conformed. So, for example, here's a good example. I read an article by R.C. Sproul, a theologian, yesterday. And his point was that people today are offended when you suggest that there's only one God. One God who has a son named Jesus. Because what the culture said, the world said, oh, no. There's Buddha and there's Allah and they're all just the same God. It's all different name now. And then you got other religions like everything's, the cow is a God and all this stuff. And I mean, it gets out of hand. The sun is a God and all this kind of stuff. Now, so people conform, even people who conform to the world, even those who are Christians, who then wonder, why do we say there's only one God? Why do we say that anyway? Who said? Who gets to decide? It's been decided before you showed up. That's what I'm trying to, before you came along, it was decided there's only one God. He been challenged for like centuries and eons. And people jump up and try stuff. Never succeed. One day, there was even a test. One time, one of the prophets, I think Elijah, one of them, he challenged the prophets of Baal. Who did that, Elijah or Elisha? Elijah. And had a little contest. He said, go ahead and build your altar and all that and put wood up there and soak it with water, he said. And he said, and a God who answers by fire is God. Talking about the test now. So it wasn't like, it was like a bunch of wood. He said, soak it with water. And it's okay, y'all have at it. They had hundreds of prophets and their gods. They were praying, come on, God, consume it. Wasn't nothing happening. Elijah's checking, he's laughing at him like, oh, yeah, right. He actually said, well, maybe he's on the bathroom, he's on the toilet. Maybe your God's on the toilet. What he said? Maybe your God is using the bathroom right now. He messed with him, man. It was heavy in there. So finally they gave up. And then Elijah prayed a prayer. And the power of God came and just consumed the whole thing in an instant. Just fire blew, just took it. Now, we don't do that now. We don't prove anything nowadays. The point is, it's been proven. Amen. It's all these, it's called postmodern. The postmodern mindset is that, oh, we're so smart today. You know, we know everything today. You are stupid today as folk ever been. Amen. Folk today aren't smarter because they got education, bigger colleges, longer degrees. And that don't make you, doesn't make you smarter. It makes you, it fills your mind with more things and you're more conformed to the world. Amen. Now, that said, don't buy this stuff that, well, education is a piece of paper. Oh, I beg to differ. My diplomas are evidence of a commitment. Amen. But I don't rely on that for my spiritual foundation. You follow me? And yet, we don't discount it because God don't have much use with people who won't choose to improve themselves. Because, see, listen, y'all, if we don't want to learn, however we're going to learn, whether it's formal or informal, man, then that's our spirit. That's how we roll. Some folk don't want to read anything. How can you become better without reading? How can you learn without reading? Come on, somebody. How do you find that? I got YouTube. Oh, okay. I'll leave you alone. You and your YouTube. I got Wikipedia. Oh, goodness. Oh, the one where people can go log in and change it. The one everybody can change. Listen, y'all, the essence of this is when we accept what God is saying here, Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Say transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, that's the part we'll have to stop at now, but we're going to study this next time, because renewing the mind is really what causes transformation. Here's a shocking statement. Being born again is not what transforms you. Not as far as we can see. Being born again is the beginning of a new life. Like a baby, I got a granddaughter, beautiful little girl, but she's not transformed yet. She's being transformed. She is becoming, you know, over years, she'll grow up. We all do. We all grow and learn, and we become transformed by education, by nurture and love and all that we receive, you know, in our lives. And ultimately, she'll be saved, amen, one day. But the point is, as being new Christians or just being believers, it says, I have life on the inside of me, and thank God for that. But a lot of Christians are not very victorious in life. They aren't very successful in life. A lot of Christians don't do stuff well because they have not been transformed. Why? Their minds have not been renewed. And the renewing of the mind means many things, among which is we put off the old man. That's first thing. Because when you get saved, become a Christian, your mind is still thinking the same way, except you have thoughts about God and the other thoughts come up. I mean, it's like it's a weird situation for many of us that we love Jesus. We talk to him, we pray, we're alive to God, no doubt about it. And yet, all the other stuff on our list is still there. Now, some things drop off right away. When I got saved, I stopped cussing right away. Well, 90%. It's a long time ago. Y'all got to think about this stuff, you know, as I'm saying it. I want to sound spiritual. I got saved. I got a holy man of God. I got saved. I was full of the Holy Ghost day one. I don't think so. I like telling myself because it helps you understand you ain't all that you think you are without Jesus. One last story. You like my stories, right? Here's a new one, maybe. When I got saved, I've been saved a few weeks. And I dipped into, I backslid. I got some weed. I smoked some weed. I felt so bad. Driving down the street, took one little toke. I was driving too. That's, you know, this another problem. Anyway, but I threw it out the window. I said, thank you, Jesus, I'm free. I felt, it was a great breakthrough for me. I threw the whole thing, I threw it out the window, y'all. The whole deal. I mean, all of it, you know, it's gone. I just was praising God. And later that day, I went back down that street. trying to find, maybe it's still out there. I didn't find it. But that reminded me, boy, you need to put off. Now, I'm being honest here. I only been saved like a few weeks now, coming from a really bad lifestyle. And God was working on me. And the best part is I was working with God. And so that it wasn't long. I went through fasting and prayer on that thing. And I put it off. I just put it out of my life. And I was done with it and didn't miss it. Once I decided I was done with it, grace came in. Amen. And I filled that desire with other desires more fruitful. Amen. So I got delivered from that. Now, some folk need personal prayer. Some need counseling. But the thing is, now, if you're a believer in Christ, you can paint a new mindset by the grace of God. You believe that? Amen. Let's all stand. Stop there. Praise God. God bless you. Thanks for listening.